Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. This is your host, Felicia DeRozier, and my amazing co-host,
Cross the favorite,
he says. Well, today we have a fun show planned for you, and I have to confess about something. This is serious.
No. Oh, no.
Very serious business.
This isn't going to be good.
I lied.
Dun, dun, dun.
And what did I lie about?
Not having the show completed.
No, I have the show completed. So...
You just told me yesterday, you're like, I totally have the show completely ready.
I did. Okay. So I did actually, okay. I did add a scripture verse this morning. But yeah, no, that was just because, like, I felt like the Lord was saying I should. Okay. I did actually have the show ready. But no, what I lied about was last week we were so excited. Do you remember why?
Why?
Because we had finally finished the first chapter of John.
I found
another teaching out of the first chapter of John. So we're...
No!
So we're still in the first chapter of John. I'm sorry.
Good night.
But we'll go through this, and then we'll be in the second chapter of John, I think. I think so. So before we get into all that, though... Yeah, it wasn't as bad as you thought, though, was it? Okay, so before we get into that, we need to cut to commercial break. Just so you guys know, we are live in the chat room right now, so if you have any questions, comments, you just want to join in the discussion, you can do that at this time. Please join us there, and I will see you in about 3 minutes.
Have you looked at the price of Bitcoin lately? Cryptocurrencies are the hottest financial investment right now. Well, what if you can get free Bitcoin fractions by having an app on your phone or PC? Introducing Lolli, a website that rewards you with free Bitcoin pieces with your online purchases. You purchase from one of thousands of companies like Chewy, Old Navy, Groupon, and others. You get a percent of your purchase back in Bitcoin. Use my link on freedomizerradio.live or find me on Facebook for your special link to get started. Lolli, earn free Bitcoin while you shop.
Peace, what's up, y'all? This is Ninja Scroll. Check out my newest album, Renewed Mind, with songs like this. Salve Coagula. Salve Coagula. Tear down and rebuild the whole system. Bible prophecy fulfilled. Snakes in the grass. Son of perdition. Got snakes in the grass. Rally through the high pass. Traps all laid out. Avoid the bomb blast. I got ya right where I want ya. Like a raw line in the field, I stalked ya. Beeped up on ya, beeped on your aura. Laying in wait, ready to pounce on ya. Once I get ya, you'll be a goner. Can you hear me now?
Hey, drop off, part of the game.
Can you see what's all on now? It's time to open up your eyes. Look at how you're living, just to follow where we're Satan's.
And the new norms, the new world order. Yeah, go get yours right now at officialninjascroll.web.com. That's officialninjascroll.web.com.
Trying to show you everything, but you ain't care. Got you running scared, it's fear that is the main weapon. Peace to the people that was always prepping. I'm stepping on toes trying to wake you up.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional. See life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves. Freaks. Outsiders. Weirdos. The wallflowers. Oddball loser, fish out of water. Speak up. Talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional. See life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
guys. Well, welcome. We're ready to start our Bible study for today. And today we're going to talk about our real name. And I feel like
my real name is Cross.
Your real name is? Okay, so your real name is Cross, isn't it?
Yeah, despite many of my friends' beliefs that I was, like, Crucificio or something like that.
I think the best one was Christopher.
Christopher, yeah.
Christopher is really hilarious. I think that's creative, so shout out to Lex for that one.
Oh.
Funny. Okay, look, this is a generational gap, okay? Like, when I was a kid, you weren't loved if you didn't have some sort of horrific nickname, okay? Like, that was just the thing. But, so today we're going to be talking about our real name. Let's start out with our key scripture, which you're going to find in the first chapter of John.
Of course.
Uh-huh. And the actual verse number is 40 through 42. So, John 1, 40 through 42. Have it here if it's too hard to find, but because I'm cool like that. He wants to read it, guys. It's okay.
Actually, if you haven't pulled up, then I don't bother.
Okay, so here you go. Ready?
No, what? No, what? No, I thought
you were going to read it. It's right there. Okay. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him we found the Messiah, that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which then translated is Peter. So this is a really interesting verse. It's kind of a weird verse to follow because it's got all this weird stuff at the end about translations. Okay. So let me explain, all right?
I'm going to explain.
Let me explain. Okay. So there were three languages really involved in the writing of the New Testament, okay? We receive everything in Greek, right? But the Greek language would have been very uncommonly what was spoken, with the exception of probably when Paul went to trial before Caesar or whatever he was interacting with Romans. Then you can assume if there's an interaction with a Roman, that all probably takes place in Greek, right? Because that was the commonly spoken language of Jesus' day.
Right.
It then turns into Latin, but at the time when Jesus was actually, you know, speaking and the New Testament was written, Greek would have been the common language. So it would be like if English was your second language, maybe you're native of another country, maybe around your house or even at your school, you're speaking your native language. But if you go in to sign documents or have to go to court for something, all the proceedings are in English. Same basic concept there. There were like hundreds of little countries that had been absorbed, probably not hundreds, but dozens at least, okay, that had been absorbed into the Roman Empire. And the Romans at the time were speaking Greek. And so in order to do anything in official capacity, you were speaking in Greek, you were writing and reading in Greek, okay? So that's why the New Testament comes to us in Greek. It was a common language that everybody in all the different nations that had been absorbed by the Roman Empire spoke. But people still spoke their local language. And at the time, the local language that you would use, you know, just think of it like the language of the street, was something called Aramaic, okay? And so that would have been the language that basically all the people that we're seeing when they're in Capernaum, when they're in Nazareth, they're all speaking Aramaic, okay? And then, of course, finally, when they're in the temple, even today, any official business that's done in any kind of a synagogue is always done in Hebrew, okay? So you've got three different languages all kind of piling into each other, okay? So Simon's name is basically, it's a good Hebrew name, and it's derived from Simeon. Do you remember who Simeon was? Probably the most famous Simeon, the ancient Simeon, okay, was one of the 12 tribes, right? One of the 12 brothers. of Jacob.
Right.
So sons of Jacob, right? Okay, so he's one of the 12 sons of Jacob. Simon is derived from the Hebrew name Simeon. It's the same, kind of like Jesus is the same as
Yeshua, which translates to Joshua.
Yes. So those are the same names, basically. Kind of think of like Sam and Samuel, or I'm trying to think of other names that would be like basically the same in our...
John and
Jonathan. Sure, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Nathan and Nathaniel. Like, they're technically two different names, but they mean the same thing. They have the same derivative. They're just one's a little shorter. So his original name is a good Hebrew name. Why change it, right? Like, that's a whole question there. Why are we going to change it? So then Jesus changes it to Cephas, right? And that's what it's written down as, a Cephas.
I don't know what you guys do in your spare time, but I don't go around changing my friend's name.
You don't. That's a little weird, right? So we're going to talk about that. This is a little weird, right?
Yeah, go up to somebody. Your name is now...
Christopher. Poor Cross. You're not seeing him on the other side of the camera dying. We should have a video camera for this episode because he's, like, dying now. Christopher. Okay, so anyway, is that what your friend did to you? I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he's going to fall. Okay, there you go. So anyway, what's crazy about this whole situation is then it says, which is then translated to Peter. So let me explain what's going on. Cephas is an Aramaic word, okay? And so it's actually a really cool name. It's kind of like your name, Cross. Like, Cross isn't really what you would typically think of as just a name, right? Like, you're not going to find the name Cross in a baby name book. So we've given you this cool name, but it's a noun, right? It's an object, okay? And in the same sort of way, Cephas is the Aramaic word for rock, okay? So he is now named Dwayne the Rock Johnson, right? He's Simon the Rock, son of John, right?
That's funny.
So technically that would mean he's like Simon the Rock Johnson, right? Because isn't that what Johnson means, is the son of John? Anyway, okay. This is getting bad, guys, okay?
He'd be Simon the Rock, John's son.
Right, but Johnson means John's son. So, like, if you understand about name meanings, that's what Johnson means, is John's son.
Yeah, in case you guys didn't see me, I fell off the bed.
So, okay. So
she was bullying me?
I was bullying you, apparently. Okay. Apparently. So he becomes Simon the Rock Johnson.
Okay.
Wow, that's just, I did not put together the Johnson thing until he said that just now, and then I'm like, wait a minute, he is son of John, he's Johnson. Wow. Okay, so anyway, so funny, right? But then it says, which is translated Peter. Well, why did he say that? Okay, remember, John the Apostle is actually writing this to the church in Ephesus, right? He's writing it for the churches in Turkey. Well, they don't speak Aramaic there, do they? They speak Greek. And they probably have some other local language that I'm not familiar with offhand. Like, I don't just actually know it. Okay, like, maybe you should, why don't you use your phone and look that up, what they spoke in ancient Turkey or in Ephesus, what their common language was at the time of the writing of the Gospel of John or at the time of Jesus. Both should probably be the same. It was only like 50 years apart. So check this. They would not have picked up on the rock reference of Cephas.
What was it?
What was the language, the ancient language of Ephesus at the time of Jesus? Now I'm just curious, right? So they wouldn't have picked up on the meaning of Cephas because they didn't speak Aramaic. So they're writing to the audience and they're saying it's translated. And we read it as Peter because we now call him Peter, because we have a language that's Latin derivative, okay? But the actual word that's written there is Petros, which was the closest Greek word you could come to the meaning of Cephas. It didn't actually mean rock. It meant stone worker or builder. But it was just kind of the closest equivalent that John could find in order to express this. Okay.
Since it was settled by Ionian Greeks in the early Stone Age, Ephesus had become...
Ephesus, yeah.
Ephesus.
Ephesus.
Ephesus. had become a Greek-speaking city, but sometimes its coins, though issued far later, gave hints about its language use and even its earliest history.
Okay, so in other words, they were all Greek speakers. So this is why he's defining it, is because they had been occupied by both Greece and Rome for so long, they no longer had their native language that they were speaking amongst each other. And so they would not recognize this Aramaic word, just like we wouldn't, okay? Okay. So here's the problem with this, is that for us, we don't speak any of those languages anymore. So it's like he's clarifying without clarifying, right? Oh, great. I'm so glad that you told me that meant Peter instead of Cephas. That makes no difference to me whatsoever.
Because I already knew that.
Well, it's not even that. It's because I don't have any reference for Peter either, because it's not related to our word for rock or stone builder at all, right? To us, it's just a name. And names have significance in the Bible. God spends a lot of time changing people's names. And one of the things that I've always been fascinated is this whole name change thing. We find reference to it. The first time I ever saw reference to it specifically was in Revelation 2, 16 through 17.
He actually tried to change Solomon's name, and that didn't go over with David very well.
No, didn't? That's funny.
I remember what he tried to change it to, but...
Well, we'll have to look that up as a fun fact later. So God does this, okay? And, you know, strangely enough, I didn't pick up on this in my first read of the Bible, but then I start reading Revelation, and Revelation 2, 16 through 17 comes up, and I think to myself, okay, this is really interesting. And it says, do you want me to read it, or are you going to?
I want you to read it.
Okay, it says, repent therefore, otherwise, and it's talking to one of the churches, one of the churches in Turkey at this time, which is who the book of Revelation was written to. Repent therefore, otherwise I will soon come and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. Also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who received it. Okay? So this is a really interesting verse. Now, I kind of grew up having, let's say, some insecurity about my name. My name's a little weird. Okay? Like, let's just be real. It's a little weird. It's definitely spelled funny. It's a unique name anyway. Yeah, how many Felicias do you know? Okay, so cross those two. I think in my lifetime, I've known two others other than me. It's a unique name, but on top of that, it's got this really unique spelling. And my entire name was spelled differently. My middle name, my last name, all of it had this unique spelling. And I guess the reason why I drew some insecurity from it was because my grandfather was a... he considered himself a religious leader of sorts of this offshoot sort of religion that based naming children on astrology and numerology. And so I felt really off-put by that, did not really like my name ever. And so the thought of having a new name was always really appealing to me, right? So it's interesting to watch this in the Bible because that's kind of why I went back and did this, because I was like, that's an interesting point, because am I the only person who thinks about this? And I don't think I am, okay? Like, some parents name their kids, and some people like their name, and then some people look at the meaning of their name, and they're like, oh, I don't feel like that suits me well. You know what I mean? So let's talk a little bit about what this new name looks like, okay? Go ahead.
Real quick. God changed Solomon's name to Jedidiah, which is spelled Jedidiah in Brenton's top.
Jedidiah.
Jedidiah, yep.
Okay.
It means blessing.
Oh, that's a sweet name, though. Jedidiah, I like that.
Yeah, David did not listen.
What does Solomon mean?
Solomon means man of peace.
Okay. Well, both are appropriate, I suppose. Okay. So.
David's like, nah, I got this one chosen.
Oh, right, right, right.
He's like, I got this.
So, so let's ask the question, like, why did Jesus choose to rename Simon? So God actually gives lots of people, to the point, new names in the Bible, if you think about it. Abram, which meant exalted father, right?
He changed it to Abraham, which means father of many.
Right, which is an interesting change for Abraham, for Abraham, whatever you want to call him, because when he was Abram, he was really the father to none. He was a father figure to Lot, but nothing more. Likewise,
like his actual biological father.
Right. So likewise, Sarai becomes Sarah. Okay. So
I don't know what those originally meant.
But I looked it up, so this is awesome. Okay. So both of them are derivatives for the word for princess. Okay. But Sarai is possessive. My princess. So she was Abram's princess when she was Sarai, but when she becomes Sarah, she is the princess of many. Cool, right? So God's changing their identity, and he's doing that kind of as a way to commemorate his promise to create this big family, this great nation from this one family. Make sense? So those are a couple. Then we can kind of think about Jacob and Israel, right? Same guy. Okay, but he has this incredible encounter with God. And
a nasty temper.
He does have a nasty temper. He's kind of, so Jacob means deceiver.
Yep.
Right? I don't remember what Israel means. You can check that out if you want. But Jacob means deceiver. And let's be real. Jacob's name is really, really appropriate for who he is, at least for the first part of his life. Like, his character doesn't really develop all that well after that even, but...
That's what I mean. It's someone who struggles with God.
Someone who struggles with God. So basically, Jacob spends the whole early part of his life really kind of deceiving people in order to be able to get his way. And then he has this struggle directly with God where he wrestles God in the desert, right? God touches his hip and he's never quite the same after that.
His kid, he was so creative with his kid. Esau means hairy because
yes.
He was hairy.
So to the
so
point,
creative.
Okay. So check this out though. Like let's think about this for a second. Okay. Is that very often parents gave their kids names like that. You were hairy, you were red, so you were named the color red. I want to say it was Ruth's husband. So there was Naomi, Ruth, and then Oprah was, I think, the other daughter-in-law.
So I actually know what Naomi changed her own name to, and I know what it means.
No, Oprah didn't change her name.
I said Naomi.
Naomi. Okay, we're going to talk about that in a second.
Okay.
So she had two daughter-in-laws, right?
Mm-hmm. Naomi.
Ruth and Oprah, and they were married to Naomi's sons. And I think one meant pain and one meant sickly. And they both end up dying. So she clearly, named them based on, maybe she gave birth to this son and he... he was in pain or she was in pain giving labor, but either way, both these children were fairly unhealthy and the namesake kind of let you know that they weren't the healthiest chaps. And they both end up dying along with Ruth's husband, if you're not familiar with that story.
And Naomi's husband died too. It's a whole mess.
Yeah. Like they flee Israel to Egypt and because of a famine. And in the process, all the men die. But it just happens that these two guys, their names actually mean painful and sickly. So it's going to give you a clue that they probably weren't the healthiest guys to begin with, right? So oftentimes in the Old Testament, we see that people are receiving names that are based on physical characteristics or their character. Right?
But this time, Naomi actually renames herself.
Yes, so we were going to talk about that. Yeah, go ahead, because this is one of my favorites. I love it.
So after this happens,
she's really sad, right?
She's super sad. Actually,
sure,
she's
like, who wouldn't be? She lost both of her sons.
And her husband.
And her husband. And she's stuck in a foreign country with two ladies who have no obligation to stay with her.
Right. And she sends Oprah away, and Oprah's like, yeah, okay,
peace.
Whatever.
Peace out, right?
Yeah, peace. But Ruth stays with her, and she keeps saying, Naomi, your people will be my people.
Right.
And
your
Naomi,
God will be my God.
And Naomi, yeah, your God will be my God. Your people. And Naomi pretty much says, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, which means bitter.
That's right. So I actually put the scripture into the notes for this. I'm about to tell you, you don't have to look it up. I already know. So Naomi actually means joy and happiness. Okay?
That's ironic.
So she goes, don't call me Naomi. Okay? Which, by the way, my name actually also means joy and happiness. Okay? Mine's a Latin root, right? So it would be the Latin root of Felix. It's just spelled differently. Okay.
Mine's cross, which means execution device.
Wow. No, your name has a meaning. You know that. We've talked about that, right? So it does. So anyway, her name meant joy, but Mara. Do you remember what Mara means?
Bitter.
Bitter, right? It's the same. It's the same root as Mary. So these are people who are drinking a bitter cup from God, and so.
Thank you. No kidding. I knew that. Look, it says cross name meeting. Cross from the crossroads.
There you go.
No, I actually knew my name was Cross. That's amazing. Thank you so much.
Oh yeah, because
so
it's so it's not again. Your name is not one that you'll find in a baby book. Okay, so we get to attribute the meaning to it. Okay, so check this out.
Your name's Cross.
I actually pulled this scripture from Ruth chapter 1:20-22, because I want you guys to hear God's response when Naomi decides to try to change her own name, okay? She says, don't call me Naomi, she told them. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. So Naomi returned to Moab, accompanying Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. God didn't miss a beat. It's like he didn't even finish taking a breath before he called her Naomi again after her declaring her name change. He had, just like what you were talking about with David wanting no part of this, God was like, okay, first of all, don't be going blaming me, and secondly, Naomi.
And secondly, Naomi.
Right.
Ruth, I looked at Ruth actually means friend, friendship, or compassionate friend.
So isn't that appropriate to her character?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So anyway, that's a great story. If you've never read Ruth, good book. But it just cracks me up the way that God responds to Naomi having her, like, you know, I mean, you know, we're kind of like, oh, it's a pity party. Well, no, I mean, she's really going through some stuff. You know what I'm saying? And I can understand that, but it's like God is saying, well, I don't mean for your life to turn out bitterly. We're going to continue to press towards joy. So everyone has two names, okay? Each and every one of us has two names, one given by our parents, and then there's a prophetic one that God knows, okay? And that lines up with our character and who we're going to become, okay? We don't always know both names. Sometimes our parents have heard from the Lord, and then both names are the same. Like, think about John the Baptist and Jesus, right? The parents were told what they're supposed to name their child, and therefore their names have significance. For example, Jesus, right, is Joshua, right? And then remember, Joshua is leading people from captivity into freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't Jesus do that? Leads us from captivity to sin into freedom in Christ, right? So that's a whole thing. Now, before we get too far into the two names and all this, let's take a minute and listen to our ads so it will be uninterrupted after that. Does that sound good?
Sure.
Let me, I have to pull up. There we go. There's a good ad. We'll be back in a minute.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like,
the one. Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Of all the grounding studies, the one that really got our attention is called Electric Grounding Improves Vagal Tone in Preterm Infants. In the study, 26 premature babies in an NICU were connected to grounding wires. The heart rates of the grounded infants stabilized. And their vagal tone, a critical measure of infant health, increased by 67% with grounding.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to WeFunder.com/GroundswellCard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today and get your money on mission.
Okay, so we're back, and we're talking about names. And then I said something, and you seemed to have a reaction. You didn't say anything, but I saw your face, and I said, you know, everyone has two names, right? Like one we know and one that's prophetic that comes from God that we don't necessarily know, right?
Oh, that was because I was thinking my name would be Lazy Middle Schooler.
Wow. So I don't know if that's prophetic, but it might have something to do with reality. No, I'm just kidding. The middle school part, not the lazy part. You're good. Okay. So check this out. Like, when I said that, obviously I really mean, like, we're talking all believers. So we're really talking all the people who believe in Jesus, right? They have this secondary name that's referred to in Revelation because obviously he's not just talking about the people in that particular church getting a new name, but talking about all those folks who are believing in Jesus receiving this new anointed name. But not all of us, hold on, let me see here. not all of us know our anointed name. Some people have received from the Lord an indication of what their child's name is supposed to be, and so sometimes that anointed name from God is the same as the name that you're given, but sometimes it's not. And these are some of the occasions where you see God changing someone's name, that Simon's name was fine, and maybe it spoke to who Simon was, but Jesus is being prophetic about who Simon Peter is going to be when he changes his name. God has a special knowledge about who he created you to be and what he's called you to do, and the name that he gives you is prophetic and tells you about your truest self and your most basic nature. I'm looking at Jeremiah 29:11. Do you happen to know that verse? We talk about that one a lot. Do you want to say it?
For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you a hope and a future. And
a plans to prosper you and
not
to harm
you, to give you a hope and a future.
Right. Okay. So he knows the plans that he has in mind, right? And just as he knew the future he had in mind for Israel, he knows, because that verse is actually specifically written to Israel as they're being taken into captivity. And he says, don't lose faith. I know the plans that I have. It's going to be rough, but everything's going to end up okay, right? And just as he knows the plans that he has for Israel, he also knows the plans that he has for us. And so he also knows the plans that he has for us. So he knew that you needed certain gifts and talents to accomplish great things. He had those things in mind when he knit you together in your mother's womb, and when he basically hardwired what you needed into you to accomplish what he had in mind. It's kind of cool to think about, right? So here I have this verse. Did you want to read it?
No.
Okay. And that is Psalms 139:13-16. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So what does this verse say? It says that God knew who you were. He already knew what he called you to do, had those days written out for you. Now, does this mean that God is controlling those things and you have no free will? No, you can choose to walk in them or not to walk in them. But you can feel confident that whatever God's called you to do, whether it's something big or small or anywhere in between, even if it feels real scary to you and you don't feel like you're prepared, God knew what he called you to in the first place. And if you're walking in his calling, he gifted you specifically for that, which is really, really interesting and great, right? So not all of us have this Simon Peter experience, right? You haven't had God come down and say, your name is not going to be Cross. It's going to be whatever. I haven't had that experience either, right? So.
My name is no longer Cross. Your name is Lady Middle School.
Wow. No. Poor thing. Middle school is hard, yo. Okay. All right. But you may have such an experience as you walk in the calling of the Lord, but even before we have such an experience, we already have a new name.
Right.
Do you know what that is?
No.
So everybody has one new name that's already common to them all. So remember we had a big discussion about covenant at one point. And there were several different aspects of a covenant, right? And there was the sharing of the meal, and there was very often a cutting of the flesh, right? The cutting of the covenant. And then sometimes people exchanged robes, right? We see this in the New Covenant when the language is talked about where we wear Christ as an outer garment, right? But another thing that's very common in a covenant is the exchange of names, okay? Now, before you look at me like I'm crazy, I'm not crazy. Because one of the few covenants that we still have active in society is marriage. And what's one of the things that happens in marriage?
You exchange names,
right? The woman takes on the man's name. This is part of covenant language. So for those people who I've seen TikToks or videos recently where people are attributing that to patriarchy, and that's not it. It's actually part of the covenant ceremony. Where there's a name exchange involved. And so it's actually a protective measure saying, you know, who is on this young lady's side who's coming after you to do something bad to her, right? Okay? Truly, it's like, think of it as a warning sign, right? So anyway, we're entering into a covenant with the new covenant. And so when we do that, we receive Christ's name because we become Christians. And what does Christ mean? What does Christ
Messiah.
Mean? No.
Yes, it does.
No, it means anointed one.
Oh,
that. It means anointed one. So what does that mean when we are Christians?
We are the anointed ones.
We are part of that anointing of God, right. And so is that prophetic? To our law?
Yes.
Yes, I would think so. So, you know, that's one way that we've already received a new name. And potentially as you walk in your calling, you actually might receive another. It may be that God will you know, speak to you or someone around you and they'll anoint you or bless you with a new name. Or we might have to wait to heaven to find out the other one. But I'm hoping there's a white stone with my name on it. And I'm waiting for that. I think that would be really, really cool, like I said. So
I just imagine, like, this angel handing it to me, and I'm reading it over. Lazy middle schooler?
No, it's not lazy middle schooler. Stop it.
I guarantee you it will be.
It won't be, I promise.
I guarantee you that God is laughing right now.
I mean, I'm... You know,
I'm sure he has a dark intuition sense of humor like I do.
I mean, he made you funny, so there you go. All right. Well, that pretty much brings us to an end to the regular Bible study portion.
Yay.
Do you want to cut to commercial again real quick before we go into our Q&A? What do you think?
Well, we kind of have to.
I think so. Let's go ahead and do that. And then we've got, I think, just 4 questions today. So. We'll see you in just a minute.
I've heard stories from teachers in classes where their students are grounded that they have half the level of referrals for discipline. Some students who were in tears because they were experiencing success when before they were experiencing failure with their behavior and discipline. I've heard stories from teachers with autistic children who have been grounded where they have less of what they call the meltdowns. And the meltdowns are less frequent and shorter, and they come back into the classroom and they're learning more than they had learned prior to the grounding. It's amazing what happens, not just with the teacher at the front of the class, but what can happen with the student sitting in the class. And just think if every single student and every single teacher and every single classroom and every single school across this whole world was grounded.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now, so why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marti.com carries high-quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marti.com. Marti.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked, or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marti.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marty.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and to keep those landfills light and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money. So check out Marty.com.
Okay, we're back, and we're getting ready for Q&A. So we need to give out our phone number, let you know that the chat room is open. If you want to, you can get on there and chat and ask questions or make comments. Can you give them the guest call-in number, Carl? The call-in number is 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. So let's start with our Q&A, shall we? Okay, so the first one is, does your name have special meaning? And did your parents tell you what the name means and why they gave it to you? Now, I kind of already answered that question, right? So this one is really for you, buddy. Let's talk about that. Does your name have special meaning?
Yes.
It does? Can you tell us a little bit about that? Did we tell you about it?
Probably at some point.
Okay, so you don't remember.
Is that it? I remember. I just don't really want to talk about it.
Okay, so your name means Cross Alexander, right? And it's Cross Alexander. And so Alexander means mankind's defender, right? And so we were talking about how the cross is mankind's defender, right? And we thought that was really cool because talks about how atonement is the thing that makes everything better for us, right? So let's see here. This is a fun question, so I hope that you like this one. Ready? So who in the Bible do you think is most like you? What's their name and what does it mean? That's kind of a hard question, isn't it?
The Pharaoh of Egypt.
What, you think you're most like the Pharaoh of Egypt? What? He didn't have a name. Did you know that?
Yeah, he's just a Pharaoh.
He's just a Pharaoh. Isn't that crazy? Like, in the Bible, you know, all sorts of people have names, you know, and then, of course, his greatest opponent, of course, is Moses, right? But we don't know which Pharaoh it is because they don't name the Pharaoh. He's just the Pharaoh. Like, literally as if God was like, yeah, he's not significant in the story. It's like kind of crazy. Kind of like the prince in Snow White. He doesn't have a name. His name's Prince Charming.
I think his name like literally was Charming. But...
No. Like he doesn't have a name. They never mention his name in the whole cartoon. So very similarly, Pharaoh does not have a name in the Bible.
Yeah, but actually probably like Moses or Peter because I would definitely talk back to God if I got the chance.
Okay. Are you saying you're a little hot-tempered?
You're a lot hot-tempered.
You know what? I feel like I really, like, connect with Peter in that way, too. I feel like a lot of times I say and do things, and I could probably think them through more. Let's put it that way. So I try really hard not to do things just based on emotion.
Actually,
but...
no, this is my final answer.
Okay.
Ehud. I'm way too eager to stab a fat guy in the belly.
Wow. That's not something you should confess on air. the police will always come to you. They're going to be like, right.
What happens on the radio show?
Wow.
The radio show.
I'm trying to figure out like who I feel like I would relate most to. I do always say out of the apostles, like I feel like I relate to Peter, just because I feel. Well, because I feel like he acts before he thinks a lot, and I feel
that's
like...
relatable.
Yeah, I feel like that's really relatable for me, because at least early on in my walk, that was true of me, and I did get better about it, but I do kind of feel like I often act without thinking. So, and of course his name becomes the Rock because, you know, God makes him a stable and strong figure in the building of his church, right?
Because he's Simon the Rock, John's son.
I am not ever going to be able to forget that now. He is Simon the Rock,
John's son.
Because he's John's son. That's, yeah, that revelation is now going to mess with me. Okay, so does God have a plan for you that he's told you about, and what steps have you taken in fulfilling his plan, and what steps can you take in the future? Well, I think this is actually a really good question for Cross because
I got that.
Super young, and I'm still working on that.
Are you fulfilling God's calling?
I mean, I hope so. I think that jumping on the radio show, I think, was a good step in fulfilling his calling. You know, I do believe that I am called to share the gospel and talk about Jesus and teach the word. So,
interesting.
As far as steps I could take in the future, I'm still praying about that and waiting for guidance, so I'm not sure yet. And then finally, and this is our very last question, then we'll end for today. Okay. How does it make you feel that you already have a new name that means anointed one?
I didn't know Lizzie Middle School translated to anointed one, but okay.
Does this change how you view yourself? I kind of feel like it is our very first indication that God really does have a plan for us. And that plan is good. You know what I mean? And to let us delve a little further into what God's plans really are.
Oh, I think God just corrected me. He said lazy middle school doesn't mean anointed one. It just means lazy middle school.
Okay, great. Nice. That's perfect.
You're welcome.
Wow. So it's Cross Alexander Lazy Middle Schooler DeRozier Christian. Is that how that works?
Simon the Rock Johnson.
Wow. Well, you heard it here. It's the same thing, guys, okay? Anyway, that's all for today. Do you think it was worth spending an extra week in that first chapter? This is kind of a fun teaching. And now we all know about Simon the Rock Johnson. That's amazing. That's
so John.
Right. Like, I'm going to have to ask God, was that an intentional punchline sometimes? Anyway, so thanks so much for joining us today. We're headed off. You guys have a wonderful, blessed week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Do you
want to
come with a car with me?
Shh.